We've got the Whangaroa Writers' World little Writers' Festival happening starting on Thursday, and you are doing, are you calling it, is it a talk, a workshop about your recent, is it a, and is it a recent book?
It's a talk. I'm giving a talk. I know it's promoted as a discussion, and certainly I'm there to answer questions and help people. But it's basically a talk for parents, and it relates to one of the books that I've written, which is called The Importance of Failing Well. So what I hope to do on Thursday evening is just outline some of the key things from that book that parents can use to help their children be successful within the present education system. That's always been my thing I've been doing for over 30 years, is helping kids to succeed at school. And so lots of strategies, lots of ideas, lots of things parents can do.
So you wouldn't describe yourself as an author as such, well, as part of who you are, but what's your kind of career been that brought you to this?
Well, 38 years ago, I got a job at the Waikato Polytechnic and teaching food science. And I worked at that for a while, and I noticed, interestingly enough, that the kids who succeeded best in my food science courses were not necessarily the smartest kids. They were the kids that had the best strategies, the ones who knew how to concentrate when they needed to, how to write good notes, how to review that information, how to manage their time, how to persist, how to persevere, how to be resilient. And so I ended up deciding that there was a business in teaching those particular skills. So I left the Polytech in 95, and for the last 28 years, I've been teaching those skills, the skills of effective learning, to students and parents and teachers around the world.
Okay, so literally you've been, and you go overseas quite a bit.
I have been, yes. I'm doing it a lot less now, but I've worked in 39 countries, yeah.
Okay, and you were saying off the air, you, for instance, you know more about the Vietnam education system than the New Zealand one.
Yeah, probably. That's a centre of interest for me at the moment. I've done quite a bit of writing about the Vietnamese education system. I'm getting some books published there soon. So, yeah, I'd say I know a little about the Vietnamese education system, and I guess I know a little about the New Zealand education system, but I haven't worked in New Zealand for quite a while. So, in fact, this seminar I'm running on Thursday evening will be the first one I've done in New Zealand for probably, I don't know, maybe 5-8 years.
I would, I'd presume to understand the concepts of failing, the concept of failing well, and learning from failing, I guess, you don't need to be an absolute expert on the education system. This is just part of learning, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. The only way you really learn anything is by having a go, by noticing what you do right and what you do wrong, by focusing on the things that are in your control, by making some changes and going back and doing it again and doing it differently the second time round.
So can... We were talking off the air. Like my experience as someone learning as a kid, was that I got a little bit too focused on the grades, and if I didn't do well, and that was it. It wasn't good enough, and I became afraid to try new things. Should I have been encouraged to not focus on the grades so much?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this the problem is that the system, as designed, focuses on outcomes. It focuses on grades and scores and marks, simply because that's a simple way to measure learning. But learning obviously involves a lot of other factors, some of which are immeasurable, like persistence and perseverance and resilience. And in order to be a good learner, you've got to focus a lot more on the process than the outcome. Because if you've got a good process, if you know how to try, you know how to push yourself beyond your own boundaries, you know how to notice how you learn, how you process information, how you remember, how you recall, how you write. If you notice those things and focus on improving your processes, your grades and scores will go up. But unfortunately, the system, as we've created it, focuses on outcomes more than process, and it's up to teachers to focus on process. And I mean, we have wonderful teachers in New Zealand teachers have got the biggest hearts in the world. They work incredibly hard with every student, and they try to focus on the process. But when you've got a political system and an education system that focuses on outcomes, the process sometimes gets forgotten.
Yeah, we don't want to stray too much into politics, but there is a there's political gain to be made from ranking schools and that sort of thing, and it's a oversimplification. And I think a good teacher knows where all their kids are at anyway.
Yes, sure.
They wouldn't need to do a test to know which kids are struggling and which kids are doing well, and even where their areas of weakness are and areas of strength are.
Absolutely. You know, if we had a grading system for schools that was based on heart, which children have the best self-confidence and self-esteem and best resilience and feel best about themselves, that would be a useful grading system. But we don't.
Yeah, I quite like that idea. It could be hard to implement and politically unpopular.
Of course, because it's hard to measure. And that's what happens. The governments tend to take the simplest things to measure and use those as sticks to beat teachers with.
Yeah, yeah. So how... I'm interested, does any of this tap back to your experience in the education, or your experience just growing up and learning? When you got into this, did you then look back and go, oh, that's what happened with me, why I was good at that and bad at that?
I don't know. I was probably very similar to yourself, Aaron. I did pretty well at school. I kept my head down. I got good academic results. But the most significant thing that happened to me at school, I was born in Hamilton. My schools were Hamilton East Primary School and Peachgrove Intermediate, and then Hamilton Boys High School. And at Hamilton Boys High School, I was bullied relentlessly for all the years I was there. It was a horrible experience. And what that taught me, luckily, was how to endure and how to be resilient. But that was the most important takeaway I took from school. Nothing academic. The academic was a side issue. It was how to manage my own emotions, how to be strong on the inside. That's what I took away. But it wasn't a pleasant experience by any means. But it certainly shaped when I started investigating the whole failure thing and the whole resilience thing, and did my master's degree in resilience in school children, and I did a study at Hillcrest High School in Hamilton. And I discovered that resilience itself is one of the most important factors for success in general, but not necessarily for academic success. It just gets you through, but it's absolutely vital for kids. The whole failing well thing turned out to be much more significant for academic success.
So what message would you give to kids who are, you know, they're getting graded maybe regularly, maybe written, depends what age they are, how often they get grades and put in front of them. But what would be your main message around how they perceive those grades and how they perceive themselves?
Well, there are simple systems you can put in place, simple strategies you can put in place to help everyone improve academically. And one of them is what I call failing well, which is, in other words, let's say a child sits a test at school. And before the test, maybe their mother or their father asks them, how do you think you're going to do in this test? What do you want to get out of this? What mark do you want to achieve? And let's say they say, I want to get 9 out of 10. And then they sit the test, the results come back, and they don't get 9 out of 10. Let's say they get 6 out of 10. So they're feeling like a failure. They're feeling like they haven't achieved. They're feeling like they're worthless. The most important thing for that child to do is to take that test result, go home, and look at all the questions they got wrong, and then use their textbooks and the internet or whatever to find the right answers to those questions and write out those right answers so that they've now got a correct answer for each of those questions. And then the next day to take that corrected test paper back to the teacher, put it in front of the teacher and say, have I got it right now? And the teacher will look at it and say, yeah, that looks great. And I'm saying this not in order for them to improve their mark at all, but just in order to put in place a failing well process. So now they've got all the right answers to those questions. So they've reprocessed the negative answers.
So they know what to do when they've failed.
Yes. So if they ever see a question like the ones they got wrong in that test again, they'll know how to answer them because they've rewritten the answers. Now, this is such a simple process. And then they need to, of course, ask the teacher, what can I do to get better in the subject? And ask the teacher to focus on process, to get them to think about, well, you could probably learn this, you could process this way better, you could process this way better, you could focus on the process. That's the secret to academic success.
So you you've got a family yourself.
Yes, all, 4 kids.
Yeah, all grown up now.
Oh, yeah, all grown up. My oldest is 40.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So how was their experience? And I mean, it's difficult when you're the dad, right? You're like, I've got this great system. I'm going to help you. But sometimes they don't want to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the only thing teenage children know for sure, absolutely, is that everything their parents tell them is wrong. So my kids had a real problem because their father was involved in education and he was telling them all sorts of things that they needed to do. And of course, they knew for sure that I was wrong. So it was interesting that when one of my sons, my oldest son, went to university, having ignored all my advice all the way through school, and just scraping through reasonably, he got to university and one day he rang me up and he said, you know, Dad, you know all that stuff you were telling us when we're at secondary school? He said, do you know it actually works? And I said, well, who would have thought, eh?
So he's fine. And sometimes they, yeah. Sometimes
so you come
we do.
To it. Yeah. It's like many things. You come to learning when you're ready, and that's like the university experience. You know, a lot of parents want to push their child through school and push them into university because it's kind of like whoever gets their first wins. That's complete nonsense. You've got to come to learning when you're ready. And that particular child I was talking about, my oldest boy, he didn't go to university until he was 20 years old. And that was the perfect time for him because he'd gone away, he'd done a whole lot of other things, he'd got some life experience, and when he was ready, he went to university and got good qualifications.
I interview a local person who's a careers advisor for people, and she says that, and I can't remember the numbers, but the stats on like dropout rates or failure rates at university changed dramatically between someone who goes straight from school to taking a year off and then 2 years as better.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think from my point of view, I think every child needs to take some time out between school and university, but it doesn't suit every child. But some of my children went straight to university and did fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's a great idea. Some time off to give you some reflection time, but to also get you connected with the real world, to find out what really counts in the world, to find your passion, find something you're interested in. You know, to me, that's what university should be for. It's for helping you to take something that you're interested in and dive into it and get the up-to-date, the leading-edge information in some academic field that you can then use to chart a life for yourself where you're doing something you're interested in, something you're passionate about.
Sounds like you found your passion later, not that much later, but you said 38 years ago you were teaching something else.
Yes.
And then all this stuff started to kind of dawn on you, I guess, or you started to notice it and...
Yeah, I was very, very lucky because I worked at the Polytech. I discovered that I could help kids to improve their academic results. And then I started working, set up my own business in 1995 and started working with kids in New Zealand in all sorts of schools, went around hundreds of schools in New Zealand and ran workshops for students showing them how to learn more effectively. And the thing that happened was every single workshop I ran, I could see light bulbs going on in kids' eyes. Suddenly they had a rationale for why they hadn't done so well in the past, and they had a mechanism for doing better in the future. So their whole life changed. For some kids, it was quite extraordinary. And so every single workshop I did just fed my heart. It fed my feeling that I was doing something useful. And I was lucky enough to be able to take that overseas and work in lots and lots of countries overseas. And I love to travel. So that fed everything that I needed. And yeah, I've been very lucky in my career.
It sounds like belief is important.
Because I
think some kids will feel hopeless, say the light bulb moment. Oh, I actually can.
Yes.
Do this.
Yes.
Up until that point, they must have obviously thought they couldn't.
Yes, and I mean, I think there's a topic called metacognition, which is thinking about your thinking, noticing what's going on inside your head. And I think that is one of the most important things that's missing in our education system is, and it doesn't have to be called metacognition, it's just helping kids to notice the way they talk to themselves inside their own head, the way they imagine things, because that sets up their belief system, their belief about themselves. So it's a combination of self-esteem and self-confidence. And I'm going to go into all this on Thursday evening. So I think that's where you start. You've got to start with self-esteem, you've got to start with self-confidence, and you've got to help kids lives realize that they can achieve whatever they want to achieve once they've got the right strategies in place.
So when you first got into this, you must have started casting around looking for, has there been any research into this thing that I'm interested in, and what did you find?
Oh, there's a ton of research, absolute ton of research from all over the world showing that improving your processes of thinking and learning will improve your academic outcomes. But it just doesn't get translated into government policy. It doesn't get translated into practice. And people always go down the route of, well, what can we measure? Okay, let's measure that, and we'll use that as a means to determine academic success. I mean, I'm a great fan of self-assessment. You know, I think in my experience, when people have taught how to self-assess accurately, they're achieving two things. They're getting the most important skill they'll ever need in their life, which is how to judge the quality of their own output, which everyone needs for every single job. You've got to know when you're producing good work or not, obviously. But that's self-assessment. And they also get a mechanism whereby they can improve on. They can use strategies and the essence of competition in order to improve their own performance, but through self-assessment, not through being judged with someone else. You know, I'll tell you a little story. It's interesting. In New Zealand, we have this thing a lot of parents do, that they put scratch marks on a doorway or a post inside the house to show a child that they're growing up. Right? And here's little Johnny at 9 and 10 and 12. And we do that for growing up. And we do that, I think, because growing up takes so long that kids don't think they're growing. And so we put a scratch mark on the door to show them, yeah, you're growing, it's happening for you too, to show them. And what that is a self-assessment system. And it works. It helps the child feel confident in themselves that they're growing. But we don't tend to do that for academic work. So one of the most important things parents can do for kids is to keep hold of last year's workbooks and every now and then show the child what they were doing last year. And the child will look at that and think, oh, actually, I'm doing really well. I'm doing much better than I was last year. I've moved ahead. I'm doing more complex stuff. I'm doing more difficult stuff. I've actually improved, because they can see it. And once they can see that they've moved ahead, that they're improving, then they know that they're on a slope, an upward slope. They're getting better and better at whatever it is, through self-assessment, not through someone else saying, you got a 6 for this and he got a 5 and he got a 3 and whatever.
Yeah, or that they weren't the one that got the cup at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if we gave cups for resilience, for perseverance, for determination, for concentration, for focus, for all the things that actually count, that would be worthwhile.
All that stuff is, I mean, we talk about easy to measure, hard to measure, but have people tried to measure all those sorts of things? And resilience, you must have got involved in how do you measure resilience.
Yes, yeah, I have my own system for measuring resilience, which seems to work quite well. It's called the No States. But that's the problem, is that because it's hard to measure, it doesn't get measured. And you see, I don't think the measurement is important at all, except self-measurement. So I think if you outline the parameters of resilience and you do work on resilience, all kids would be able to say, oh, yeah, I'm about there on a scale. And then you do some more work and you give them lots of opportunities to push their own boundaries and learn from their mistakes and fail well. And a bit later they say, actually, yeah, I'm feeling a lot stronger in myself. I think I've moved up on that scale. It's self-assessment. You don't need an external way to measure it. You know in your heart how well you cope with difficulties, how well you cope with disaster and failure. You know. Nobody needs to tell you.
We do, but it's like we learn to distrust it sometimes, and we're looking for that signal,
external validation.
Yeah, the external the signal from outside of ourselves, and we do our assignment at school, and we put it in, and we hope. And you were talking off the air earlier too about having a sense of agency, like
absolutely.
Yeah,
you've got to focus on the things that are in your control. You know. So what is in a child's control with regards doing an assignment? Well, it's how well they research and how well they concentrate and how much effort they put in and how much work they do and how good they are at writing. And it's an interesting thing. Why did the children of teachers always do better at school than other kids? It's not because teachers give them more stuff, give them more English language and give them more maths and give them more stuff at home. It's not. It's because teachers teach them the secrets. the secrets of how to write well, the secrets of how to focus, the secrets of how to persevere, the secrets of how to do all the things behind academic success that produce academic success.
So it's not working hard's useful, but it's not the key.
Well, there's only two things that are in a child's control, really, at school. One is how much effort they put in. That is one important factor. But the other is the strategies they use. How do they apply that effort? Do they know how to manage their time well? Has anyone ever actually taught? You know, kids can constantly get told to manage time, you know, to be more time precise, to be more on time, to all that kind of stuff. But very rarely does a teacher actually teach them how to do that. They just tell them what to do, not necessarily how to do it. So how to manage your time, how to take good notes in class, how to review. There's a very, very simple system of review that makes an enormous difference to academic success. How often do you go over the material that you collect in school every day? When do you go over that? Do you go over it on a schedule? Do you have a method of summarizing that information down to some key points? Do you have a visual means of displaying that information? There's a whole lot of very, very simple things that can make an enormous difference, and that's on the strategy side. But those are the only two things in a child's control: how much effort they put in and what strategies they use.
That's I've got two questions jostling for competition here. If you very quickly, if you could design the education system to do this, how would you do that? Or I guess the other thing is, like, it feels like often when my daughter was at school, because they were at school for the last 3 years, it just felt like there was a constant struggle to get through the curriculum. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. There's no time for anything else. But you're talking about putting time aside for review.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
have to legislate for it or something.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the problems are the focus on grades, the focus on scores, the focus on qualifications. It's ridiculous. It's not of any benefit to anyone. What we need is a focus on learning, a focus on self-improvement, a focus on the affective skills, those internal character-building skills. You know, it's well proven that in any job, anywhere, in any industry, it is the character skills that make the difference. Not necessarily the academic skills, especially in now we're in a digital age with AI running most things. It's not going to be so important what you know. It's going to be really, really important how you think and how you learn, how you can adapt to new situations. So if I was going to change the education system, I would do it completely radically. I would get rid of qualifications. I would get rid of standardized testing. And I would focus children on the two parts of education, which are the process skills you need to learn well and the knowledge that you need. Obviously, you still need knowledge. But the process of how to learn and the content of what to learn need to have equal importance in a modern education system.
Yeah. So we're talking to Lance King, and even though that's what you'd like to do, what you have done is written a book for people whose kids are in the school system. And when did you write it? Was that, because it sounds like you could have written it any time over the last 30 years almost.
That's my first book. I wrote it in 2009.
Right.
So it's been around a while, but it still seems to be relevant today.
Yeah, well, not much has changed. The details have changed with the education system, but the basics of it being measured and the political push for measurable grades that politicians talk about and get you to vote on, that's still there. So so remind people again, it's Thursday at the old school,
the 22nd at 7 p.m. in the old school,
and it's koha entry, it says on the poster.
Koha entry, about 90 minutes. I'm happy to answer any questions anyone has, but it's kind of like I'm going to talk, are you going to listen and ask questions? That's kind of the format, I guess.
Okay, yeah, and it's basically we've heard some of your ideas about what kids can do, but it's like practical strategies.
Absolutely practical strategies that I've been using for 30 years.
Yeah. All right, Lance, thanks heaps for coming in.
Thanks, Aaron. Cheers.
All right, folks, we're going to have a little break, and Nga Rono has turned up in the studio. We'll be chatting to her in just a moment.